Good morning. It's good to see everybody out with graduations and getaways. There are a few people missing this morning. I read a story of a businessman who needed several million dollars to clinch an important deal, and he was sensing the need for divine help. And so he went to church to pray for money. And by chance, he knelt next to a man who was praying for $100 to pay an urgent debt. And after a few minutes, the businessman took out his wallet and pressed a $100 bill into the other man's hand. And overjoyed, that man got up and left the church. The businessman then closed his eyes and prayed, "Okay, Lord, now that I have your undivided attention." Well, that businessman wanted God's undivided attention. But frankly, it isn't God who has the problem. It's often us. We really don't have to work all that hard to get God to hear our prayers. God has promised that he will listen to them. Jesus even promised, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." We don't have to work very hard at getting God's attention. But a lot of times the opposite is true. God has to work pretty hard to get ours. In Ezekiel 12:2, we find there that God complained that the Son of Man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. You have eyes to see, but see not, who have ears to hear, but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Well, why don't they see or hear? And it's because most likely they're not paying attention. Several years ago, several states, including Oklahoma, was thinking of different ways of putting new driving restrictions on young drivers. And it seemed to have a teenage driver was a scary thing that maybe their parents hadn't gone through. So current lawmakers said having a teenage driver is scary. But having a teenage driver with friends in the car is even scarier. And so we want to limit that. And so they came up with an idea for the first year or so, you couldn't have any friends in the car with you because that would be a recipe for disaster. Well, now why is it hard for a friend to be in a car with a teenage driver? What is the risk with that? There are several of us here today that seem to turn out okay. But it's true. It's easier to get distracted when friends are in the car rather than when they are not. Because they have ears to hear, they would just not be listening to the things they needed to be listening to. I stand here and have the same problem. At the hospital, when we would have meetings, there would be at some point I got elected about being the guy who knows about computers. Now, that's not true. I know how to find great memes that I think are great. Now, if that's what you want, I'm your guy. Running your PowerPoint and paying close attention all the time is not something that I'm very good at. Once in a while, more often than not, I would be talking to whoever was sitting next to me and would forget to change the screen on time. I'm glad Kathy never has that problem back there. It happens to teenagers and it happens to adults. I get distracted. I have ears to hear, but at that moment that next slide needs to come up on the screen, I'm not listening to what I need to listen to. And so now as we come to 1 Samuel, we find that somebody else hasn't been paying attention. Somebody hasn't been listening to God, and that person is the priest of Israel, Eli. And in chapter 2, God explains what's been happening. And we'll look here at 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll read verses 13 through 17. It says there that the custom of the priests with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would come. While the meat was boiling, with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan, or the kettle, or cauldron, or pot. And all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is what they did at Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Moreover, before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give meat for the priest to roast, for he will not accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, let them burn the fat first and then take as much as you wish, he would say, no, you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. And then in verse 22, we're told that now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing all that his sons were doing to all of Israel, and how they lay with the women who were serving at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Not only are these boys stealing from God, they're making the tabernacle a place of prostitution. And so Eli takes his boys aside and he gives them a stern talking to. But he does not discipline them. He does not remove them from the office as he should have. And there are probably a couple of reasons why Eli doesn't discipline his sons. But the one we're going to focus on this morning is that he loved them. These were his sons. They were his boys. And he got distracted by his love for his sons. He loves them more than he loves God. And so he overlooks their sin because he loved them too much to obey God. Now Christ would say something about this. In Matthew 10:37, Jesus said that whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Eli loved his sons more than God. And they kept him from listening to God. They distracted him from his responsibility before God. And because Eli loved his sons more than he loved God, he stopped listening to God. And he stopped and he lost everything eventually that he held dear. He lost both of his sons. He would eventually lose his life. He lost his family, and they lost their place in the priesthood. Now, by comparison, in 1 Samuel 2:35, God tells Eli that I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. God had selected Samuel to replace Eli and his family because Samuel would be a priest who would not get distracted by anything. Samuel would be a priest who listens to God. And that listening began right here in 1 Samuel 3. God wakes Samuel four separate times. And each time God calls Samuel, Samuel. And the first three times Samuel thinks that it's Eli. And that's all that God says is those two words. It's only after Samuel, following Eli's advice, says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, that God then begins talking to him. It's only after Samuel declares, I'm listening. I read a story about a high school music appreciation class where the students were learning the difference between listening and hearing. And it took a while for anybody to raise their hand, but eventually one of them did and gave this insightful definition. That listening is wanting to hear. Well, here's the deal. God had looked for a man who would listen to him. God was looking for a man who wanted to hear what God had to say. And we'll hearken to the story in the Gospels about Mary and Martha. These women had been strong supporters of Jesus' ministry. They had given emotional support, fed them food, and may have even helped financially. According to Luke, when Jesus first met these sisters, they were so impressed by him that they had him come over to their house for a meal. And in Luke chapter 10, verses 39 through 42, we're told there that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You'll notice that Mary was listening to Jesus. Martha was working for him. And no doubt, Jesus appreciated what Martha was doing for him. But Mary was doing the one thing that matters most to God. She was listening. Martha was distracted by her preparations. She was following her agenda, what she felt needed done. But she hadn't asked Jesus. In fact, she told Jesus what she wanted done. She wanted him to tell her to help me. By contrast, Mary was listening to hear what Jesus' agenda was. She was listening to what he wanted done. And repeatedly throughout the Bible, that's what God says. God says, listen to me. Deuteronomy 5:1, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jeremiah 10:1, hear, O Israel, the word of the Lord speaks unto you. Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus declared in the book of John that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Don't get distracted by anything in this world. Don't get distracted by your job or your troubles or your goals or your agendas or even your family. God says, listen to me. Listen to him first. Matthew 6:33, we spoke about it at the beginning of this lesson. Jesus said, seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then it tells us why. And all these things will be added unto you. Now, Jesus was simply repeating what the rest of Scripture had already promised. Again, Deuteronomy 6:3, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey. Now, why? Because so it may go well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Isaiah 55:3 says, to incline your ears and come hear me. Because so that your soul may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love of David. Through those verses, what God's saying is this, is I want to bless you. I want to give you your heart's desires. But I can't do that if you're not going to listen to me. The reason why that God has chosen Samuel to replace Eli was that this boy was someone who could say to God, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so now, this begs the question, how do I know if I'm listening to God? Well, how does Samuel do it? The first thing is he lived close to God all the time. He was at the tabernacle every time the place was open. Well, you're going to say, well, Mike, he lived there. And that's true. Samuel did live there. But the point is this, Samuel always wanted to be near to God. And frankly, if I was Johnny Cochran, and you can look at me and say that I'm not, but if I was, you could say if you can't hear, you're not near. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, it means to go to church every chance you get. Not because this building is a place where God lives. No, you come to church because when you're here, you're surrounded by God's people. Jesus said, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am among them. So let's just ask a couple of questions this morning. Are you going to Sunday school? If not, why? I know that when I go to Sunday school, there are things I learn that I didn't know before, something new all the time. Or if I don't learn something new, I hear something that I needed to hear again. If you miss out on Sunday school or Bible studies that you could go to, you run the risk of missing listening to what God wants you to hear. If you want to hear, again, you've got to be near. Second, in 1 Samuel 2:21 tells us that Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Samuel grew in God's presence. He wasn't just hanging around the tabernacle putting in time. He was growing. He was stretching. Any athlete will tell you that they have to practice. Verse 26 tells us that Samuel continued to grow in both stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man. Well, how have you grown with Jesus lately? Have you improved your prayer life? Have you studied God's Word at your home? What have you done to be a better servant of God? Now, I'm not asking any of those questions to accuse you or to make you feel bad. These are the questions that every Christian ought to ask themselves, no matter what their status or maturity. We should never be satisfied with getting by only on our faith. We should never be satisfied with just the status quo. It is true that in this world, when we stop growing, we begin to die. If you stop growing in your faith, that's also true there, that your faith will begin to die. Make it your goal as a Christian to always grow in God's presence. And lastly, I read something three separate times in 1 Samuel. Again and again and again, we are told Samuel was ministering before the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means if you're really listening to what God has to say, it will cause you to minister for Him. When God rebukes Eli in 1 Samuel 2:35, He tells him again that I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall go in and out before my anointed forever. I hope what you hear on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings moves you to serve God in some way. And I'll close with this story. A writer says that shortly after the Korean War had ended, a night watchman happened to notice a hungry boy needing shelter on the streets. And he told the child, if you go to that house over there and say to the one who answers, John 3:16. Now, even though this boy did not know what John 3:16 meant, he did as the watchman told him. He went to the house and knocked on the door, and he did not understand the strange phrase, John 3:16. But when he spoke these words to the lady who answered, she smiled and invited him to come in. And the boy thought, I don't know what this John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a Korean boy warm. And seeing that the boy was gaunt with hunger, the kind lady brought him a hot bowl of soup. And as he ate, the boy thought again, I do not know what this John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a Korean boy full. And the lady gave the boy a nice bath and gave him some clean pajamas. And as he lay in a comfortable bed with tears flowing down his cheeks, he thought to himself, I don't know what this John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a strange lady love a Korean boy. The woman did what she did because she understood something that little boy did not. She listened to God, and His Word changed her life, and so she spent her life ministering to young boys like this one. And so this morning, ask yourself, what is God saying to you? And are you listening? Is God speaking to you about maybe your need to study more, to grow more, to serve more? Or is He maybe talking to you about your most basic need in this life, your salvation? Have you never come to the point of believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for your sins? Have you never came to the point where you've accepted the fact that you are a sinner who needs to be forgiven of those sins? Have you never came to that point in your life where you're willing to give your life over to Jesus and make Him the Lord of your life? To be buried with Him in the waters of baptism and risen up from those waters a new creature in Christ. Whatever this morning that God is saying to you, make up your mind to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This morning we encourage you to make those decisions as together we stand and we sing.